the way. John 14:5, we see Thomas is saying something to Jesus in response to something that Jesus has said. John 14:5 says, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Thomas is asking Jesus. Jesus responded to him with an answer. A very appropriate answer, a very true answer, a specific answer. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Matthew 6:12 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And when Jesus is telling Thomas about him being the way, the truth, and the life, about Jesus himself, this is it. This is the answer. Where are you going? Jesus telling him who the answer is. We have to look at what we treasure when we're thinking about this. And Thomas, he didn't see it at the moment, did he? He didn't understand exactly what was going on, and he did ask questions. And I believe it is okay for us to ask questions. That Jesus will answer us and teach us and lead us and guide us, as he's doing with Thomas here in this interaction, in this conversation. And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's this saying that says, X marks the spot. X marks the spot, and we think about maybe a pirate's treasure, Armady, and they got a treasure buried, and the X marks the spot on the map, and if anyone needs to get back to that treasure to find the treasure, they're going to get the map. They're going to follow that map, and when they start digging where the X is, they're going to find the treasure. Where is the treasure for us? When we think about the X marks the spot figuratively, it's a clear indication. It reveals a location of something very important to us. X marks the spot. We've heard people burying time capsules. You know, you may have done that in your lifetime, where they put all this information of history into this time capsule. They bury it. And then later in history, maybe their great-grandchildren, who know because there's been some instructions on where that is, and they dig it up. And they look back on the history of whatever's in that time capsule. Some of them have these old lunch boxes in them from days ago. And it's like, wow, what is this? And they don't know. They used to look this way. It's amazing what people put in time capsules. Treasure boxes of memorabilia. So if your focus, where you mark the X on a spot in your life, is on the temporary, the temporal, then you're living in the context of the immediate, what's happening right now. And that's quickly passing away. The temporal is not having an eternal focus on God. It's on what's right now. I could get carried away and focus on what's right now, my knees knocking and such like that, being nervous. But then I'm not focusing on the eternal. Focusing on the temporal things can cause me to get sidetracked very easily. Focusing on what God wants me to do and stepping into his flow takes it all the way where it needs to go. Every time, he never fails. Focusing on me, I'm short. I'm short in my ability to do things. I fall short. Stepping into the flow of the Spirit and listening to the Spirit of God, as Jack can testify about being on the piano and doing all these things as the Spirit of God moves in him, he gets to flow in the Spirit. and God does the work. Focusing on the temple is not going to get God's work done. Focusing on just what you have, I just have enough to eat for today and tomorrow I will die. Won't, it's not faith. It's not an eternal perspective when you know God. Focusing on all the trouble around us in the moment and all of our shortcomings and all of that will not glorify God. We won't be able to glorify God in our words, in the way we speak with people. We won't be able to glorify God in our actions, in the way that we are acting out and walking in our faith with God, because we are then faithless without God. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus told him. If our focus is on material things in this life, then we're putting an X on the map. And it's like we're focusing on greed. We're focusing on our own significance. We're not focusing on our forever home. We're not focusing on our eternity with Christ. We're looking at what we got in our pocket or what we got in our bank account. We're looking at how people look at us. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I can't do that. Or I'm so great. Look at me. We're so focused on that that we cannot see God in his plan and his eternity. We can't see the eternal picture because we're focused on the material or the temporal, the here and now. When we pattern our lives as a follower of Christ Jesus, then we know we must live a life with an eternal view. We're pilgrims. We're just on a journey here. This is not my home. I'm thankful for every single thing the Lord has blessed me with. Don't get me wrong. We're thankful. But it's not all there is. This is just temporary. If our houses, the Lord forbid, burn down and everything we own is gone, praise the Lord anyhow. If every friend we ever had left and no longer wanted to be our acquaintance, praise the Lord anyhow. If everyone rejects us, rejection can be protection. Praise the Lord anyhow. Glorify God in any circumstance that you find yourself in. Give God the praise. If I'm going down the road and my tire goes flat and I'm all alone and I can't fix a flat tire, by the way, I will not be happy. That would be kind of stupid and crazy, maybe. Maybe you would be happy. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have called it stupid, but I feel I might be, I don't know. But I would be able to thank God anyhow because I know that he's going to see me through. It might take a while, but he's going to see me through. Praise the Lord anyhow. How can we know the way? Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, he obeyed when he was called to go out of a place to a place that he was to receive for his inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. Think about his life. He was living in tents for a while. Going, I couldn't imagine. Not knowing where he's going. Verse 10 says, for he was looking forward to the city that has a foundations whose designer and builder is God. He wasn't trying to do it himself and fix the things ahead of time. Oh, I do love to know where I'm going. I enjoy setting a plan for a trip and going and knowing where I'm going, where I'm going to stay, and the agenda. I also like to go and just go. There are times I just like to get in the car and just go and see what I find. You talk about risky. We go to the hotel and it's full. Go to the next hotel and it's full. You're 500 miles from the house. Well, why didn't we make a plan? Well, we just wanted to do it this way. It's kind of risky. It's kind of scary. You're kind of going on. I'm not recommending all of that. But when we think about what God's plan is for our lives, we don't know the destination except for glory with Him. We don't know the process of getting there, but we're in fellowship with God following Jesus. And that, day by day, is our destination with Christ, following with Christ, the Holy Spirit all around and within, leading us to follow with Christ, in God the Father, in us, to the glory of God. All the way, He gets all the glory. He hems us in all the way, all around. Isaiah 28:16 says, "Behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation. I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste." You ever see the world around you hasting, running around, trying to obtain, trying to fix it, trying to change it, trying to work through it, trying to fix therapeutically whatever's going on in their life, trying to do the temporary? They need God. Jesus was never in a hurry. Can you think of a time He was in a hurry? I remember Him walking a lot. I don't remember reading He ever ran. I remember reading He walked from place to place. He may have rode a donkey. I don't know. That might not have been included, but Jesus just knew where He needed to be. Of course, He's God. But He was never in a hurry. So when we are walking in Christ, we don't have to rush. We don't have to know it all. We don't have to have it all figured out. Because He does. Every time, all the time. We can't get to where Thomas was asking about. Him asking, how do we know the way? Where are you going? We don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? We can't get there without the person who wrote the map, who put the X on the spot. We can't get there without Christ Jesus, us following Him. We can't get there without us being a follower of Christ. It's impossible. We can't be a follower of Christ if we don't love Him. We can't love Him if we don't know Him. God got all that worked out, doesn't He? He said, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and He will give us rest." He's got it figured out. All we need is to believe. Let's take a closer look at the exchange that's going on between Jesus and His disciples back here in John, chapter 14, 13 and 14. We're going to go to chapter 13, 33. Now Jesus says this, little children, yet a little while I am with you, and you will seek me. You remember what happens next? Jesus is preparing them. For a little while, I'll be right here. But then, you're going to be seeking me. Jesus told the same thing to the Jews. The disciples couldn't perceive what was going on. They were looking at it in the temporary, in the temporal, right here in the physical. Jesus is right there. They could touch Him. They could hear His voice. He was right there. They could hug Him if they wanted to. They could lay their head on His shoulder. He was right there with them. They witnessed and observed Him. And He said to them, "Yet a little while, and I'm not going to be here anymore," right? "I'm not going to be right here like this." They didn't understand. You're going to look for me, but I'm not going to be here. He began to prepare them. Yes, they had questions. They did not understand. They did not know exactly what he was saying. Little children, yet a little while, I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. And at that time, the disciples could not follow. They weren't even ready. They did not have an eternal view. They did not know exactly. They didn't know it all. They hadn't perceived who Christ really is. They had to walk through it. They accepted him as the king, but they had this mindset of, oh, here's what he's going to do. You ever have that mindset? This is how it's going to work out. I just know how this is going to work out, and then it doesn't. Oh, God had a different plan. The disciples were like that. Now, Jesus gave them a new commandment. So he's preparing them, and now he's teaching them. He comforts them in the middle. But he's telling them right here in verse 34 of chapter 13, a new command I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Then he gives them the reason why in verse 35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I have fallen short with loving at times. I'm thankful that God has grown me and he gives me a place to repent. Each one of us, he does that for. There are times that there are people that are hard to love. But I can't love them with Lisa's love. I don't have enough in my love bucket. There are some days the world is just taking so much that there's one drop left. I'm like, Rod, you got that? And then I have to make sure I speak kindly. But when I'm in the presence of the Lord, it doesn't matter how empty my love bucket is, because he more than compensates with a flow from the Holy Spirit that is that springing up. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, gentleness, self-control. Oh, his bucket's full. Buckets full. There is plenty for everybody on the worst day ever. Plenty of God to suffice for every need. Healings come sometimes quickly, sometimes slow in our thought, but focusing on eternity is just a breath away in God's view. John 35, or let me read 34 again. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. John, well, the disciples here in John, they were focusing on the temporal. And you could see it right here in these verses. Jesus said, a new command I give you. And what's the next thing that happens? Peter is saying, Lord, where are you going? In verse 36 of chapter 13, the focus just went off of eternal and right onto the temporary. Here's what's happening. He said he was going somewhere. He didn't quite hear that part about loving, did he? He went right to, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now. He's explaining, but you will follow afterward. And Peter said to him, and I love this, I see myself in there. I feel like I would have probably said the same thing. I will lay down my life for you. I feel that. I feel I would lay down my life for the Lord if he was standing right here. I feel that. I believe that. With all of my heart, I think I would be right there with Peter. I know the Lord in salvation. Peter was just the Lord had not been glorified at this time yet, but he would soon be. He said, I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered and said, will you lay down your life for me? Like, think about it. Take a moment to think about that. As I was saying it, I was thinking. Gun to my brain, would I lay down my life for the Lord? I believe strongly that I would. I am convinced that I will. Think about it. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. In all of Peter's conviction, Jesus knew him personally. Not only did he know him personally, he knew. He's God, he knew. And in this, he prepared Peter for his expectations of himself to be totally crushed. Can you might have been there. I've been there before. Thinking, oh, I got this. And then, no, I was so far off. That's crushing. But the Lord, as you know, the rest of the story with Peter, asks him, if you love me, feed my sheep, one. If you love me, feed my lambs, two. If you love me, feed my sheep, three. Covered it all. Their minds were filled with questions. They were unable to perceive the eternal command at that moment because they were trying so hard to figure out how Jesus was going to fit into their X on the spot of treasure in their life, right? They were so busy trying to figure this out, and they had their view of this is what it's going to look like, but it wasn't that, because God had other plans. Simon Peter had said what he said, and Jesus responds in this way after the reproof he gave him. In verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1 says, let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God. That's it. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus says. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he would have told us, right? Yeah, that's what he's saying. If it were not so, would I have told you? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. I will take you to myself that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas then speaks up and he says, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we possibly know the way? And we're right there. That just stuck out to me this week. If we do not know the destination, how in the world are we ever going to know the way? Where is the X marked on your spot in your life? We all have it. Jesus gives the answer in 14:6. He says that he is the way, right? Now, if our focus is on him, and if our knowing is that he is the way, and he is the truth, and he is the life, and we're trusting God, we've got it right. The road's going to be rough, but we got it right. We know where we're going. So it doesn't matter how long and how hard the road is. We got it right because we're following the master. But if our view is materialistic, if our view is in our significance or capabilities, if our view is in what's right here in front of us and not on what God can do or what is God's to do, we didn't put the mark in the right place. Kings 18:21 says, "And Elijah came near to all the people and said, 'How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him.'" There's more to the verse. "But if the Lord is God, follow him. If you believe the Lord is God, then follow him." Hebrews 10:20 says, let me back up. John 14:15-17 says, Jesus says, "If you love me," and it's a further on in what we were reading, 14:15-17 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, what did he command them before in chapter 13? "A new command I give you, to love one another." And he gave them the reason why. Because all would see it and know that we are his disciples. Well, then we are then pointing to him in our life. He is lifted up and glorified. If he is lifted up and glorified in our life, then what happens? It happens. All people will be drawn unto him. That's a fact. That's not our work as much as it is our obedience and his work in them. But we have to be obedient to God. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will..." Now, there's a promise with a condition. "If you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." And that helper in the ESV is capitalized. We know who that is. The Holy Spirit. Some say, take out the Holy Spirit. "Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him." You know him. "For he dwells with you, and he shall be in you." There's the way. Jesus is going to make the way possible by us following him, by us leading, being led by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10:20 says it's talking about a new and living way. 19 and 20, "Therefore, brothers, since we have this confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." That's what we need to be communicating and stirring up in each other. "Not neglecting to meet together." Some had that habit, because it says it here, as the habit of some. "But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Encourage one another. The Lord is coming. Jack, would you come on up, please, and Sharon? Encourage one another. The Lord is coming. The Lord is asking us what our focus is on, bringing us to that point. Do we know the way? Do we know him? Do we trust him as he is giving us the truth? Do we realize that he is the very life that we need in us, in this world around us? We need God. We don't just need him when we feel bad. We don't just need him when we wreck our truck, right, Jim? We don't just need him then. We need him all the time. All the time. The enemy, he is really raging. He's out to devour. He's out to destroy. He's out to kill. He's out to steal. The enemy is really, he is active, but he's not more powerful than our God. He is not more powerful by a long way. And God is victorious.